blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter and the first 16 verses. Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 20. For in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here idle all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, and that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So far, the reading of the Holy Word of God. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who art sovereign in all thy dealings, and who doest as it pleaseth thee, as we have read out of thy holy word. And man does rebel against thy sovereignty. He would have it done as we would have it. Or our eye that is evil, because thou art so good. Or our eye is corrupt, because of thy mercy, because of thy kindness. Oh, that thou would look upon each and every one of us and give us understanding hearts, that we might learn to bow under thy sovereign ways, and that we may learn to agree to let God be God also in our own life. And because we deserve to be cast away from thee, and thou dost still spare our lives, even to this very moment, give us then to see thy great goodness bestowed on each and every one of us, that it may lead us to a true repentance. And oh, may thou draw our hearts with thy goodness, that it may break our hard and stony hearts, and that it might melt our cold hearts, and that we may come with desires, with longings, inwrought by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, give us life in our souls. Lord, we cannot do without it. We cannot do without the operation of thy Holy Spirit. Also in this thy very day, when we are gathered together in thy house of prayer for a second time, may thou also come in the midst of us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and shed abroad thy healing wings over us, who are so dead in sins and in trespasses that we cannot move one limb in a spiritual manner, that we cannot give to ourselves one true and right desire, and that we cannot give ourselves one true longing after the living God. Lord, wilt thou make it different in our hearts by thy Spirit, that in this afternoon hour, that it may be evident that thy Spirit does move us, that thou art present to heal, and that thy power that does work among us, that thou would send forth of thy Spirit, that it may bring forth from the dead, that the living may begin to cry out because of iniquity and sin, because we miss that God whom we have left in our father Adam, that it may become our greatest grief and burden, that we have separated ourselves from thee. Lord, give it unto us, else we die, else we go to our long home, even in that same state as we have been born by nature. Oh, it must all come from thee. Thou hast the power, thou hast the might. Oh, do it for thy name's sake. Look upon thy own people. Feed them, Lord, who cannot feed themselves. They are in themselves so helpless against all that cometh against them. But, oh, that thou may keep watch over and protect thy people. And wilt thou give that false notion of the manner that they think that necessary to enter in, and may be uncovered, and that it may be broken, and that it may be fully taken out of the way, and that they may see, and that they may believe, and that they may receive everything out of that blessed way of free and sovereign grace that thou hast wrought in thine only begotten Son. Oh, glorify him in the midst of a wretched and a miserable, of a poor and a helpless people. Then thy name will be glorified beginning here and to that never-ending eternity. O Lord, wilt thou look on us, each and every one, traveling to that eternity with no impression by nature, in such a dangerous state and condition, and no knowledge of it, no impression of it, going on so careless over this world. Oh, we need to be awakened. We need to be quickened from the dead. That was so with every one of thy people, and it is so with every one of us. Oh, remember us then from thy own side. Be with all the afflicted ones in this life, the widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones, also those that are far away from us. Be with all that struggle with difficulties of the mind or of the body. Wilt thou support and strengthen? Wilt thou heal? Also, those that suffer from a serious life-threatening diseases. Lord, wilt thou be on their right and on their left, and give that the callings which come to them and unto us may be sanctified, that it may not be a savor of death unto death. Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us in the days in which we live with our dear children, wherein Satan is so mighty, wherein his chains are let loose for a little season, wherein he goeth about to devour, and if it were possible even to deceive the very elect. Oh, that thou may stop him. Oh, that thou may keep him away from the churches. That thou may remember the places that are in turmoil. Oh, that thou may give, that thy word may prevail, that thy truth may have the preeminence, that it may find a place in the hearts of the people. And wilt thou give that also in our own sister denomination in the Netherlands, when the synod will be held in the coming weeks. Oh, that thou may be on the right and on the left in that place also, and may thou supply for all that are in distress. Lord, may thou help in all the situation that is in that place. And may thou show thyself to be the strongest one. Oh, that thou may give that all the devices of the devil may be put away. That thou may preserve thy truth amongst them and amongst us and our dear children. And that which we have received by thy hand and by our forefathers. Lord, wilt thou give that many may be born in Zion? Then that truth will become precious to us. Then we shall cleave to it. Wilt thou look upon all those that reign us in our country? Wilt thou strengthen the judges of our land to do what is right in thy holy sight, and our lawmakers to give us laws in accordance with thy holy word? Oh, judge us not according to the multitude of our transgressions, but wilt thou turn us again unto thee, and leave us not altogether without chastisement and correction, even as a bastard, but Lord, wilt thou look on us? Oh, correct us, but not in thine anger, lest thou bring us to nothing. Be with thy true servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, may thou send more of them into thy vineyard, for the harvest truly is great and the laborers few. And, Lord, oh, that thou may give men who are truly converted, and that are truly thrust out by thee. Oh, lay it as a burden upon the heart of this one or that one, and that he would not be able to let it go, and that thou may give what is necessary in the preaching of thy word, and that thy word may go forth to bring forth life in the midst of the congregations, and also amongst the heathen, be with those on the mission fields. Wilt thou give also thy presence in those places, and strengthen all that are laboring there? May thou look upon all those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Strengthen them this day. Be with the soldiers in the battlefields, under all the dangers, each and every hour. Oh, may thou keep them hour by hour from all the strength of the enemy. And may thou give them to put their hope and their trust in thee, and that also their way may be sanctified to their own souls. Remember all that received the remains of their loved ones back from the battlefields. Lord, strengthen them. Oh, comfort them in mercy, and give them to know that there is a God in heaven. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour again, when we are together in thy house of prayer? Lord, help us to bring thy word. Help us to hear thy word. Oh, open thou our hearts, and open thou our minds, and open thou thy word, that there may be a food in thy house for thy people, and that there may be instruction in the paths of righteousness, and that we all may be led together upon that pathway, that narrow pathway of free and sovereign grace, that the wretched pride of the human heart may be humbled, and that we may receive everything as a blessed gift of thee from above. Lord, forgive all that is sinful, and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 166, the first four stanzas. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. congregation, the longer that we live with our children in this world, the more likely that it is that we come in contact with those of the religion of Islam, because it is a religion that is growing with leaps and bounds, also in this our own country. When you will ask them a few questions, and when you will come, especially to that most important question with them, to ask them, how is it that a man may be saved? Then they must give you this answer, that is, by outweighing my bad deeds with good deeds. That is the salvation of Islam. There is supposedly then an angel that is assigned to each one of us that is keeping a record of each deed, whether it be bad or good, that there may be in the end of our life a tally. They must make a certain recitation, shahada, that is, I believe that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. With this confession, they become a Muslim. Then they must pray 17 cycles of prayer each day. First, that their hands are washed and their bodies are placed in the direction of Mecca, in the direction of a certain niche that is placed in the mosque. Then they must fast, commemoration of Muhammad's receiving of the Quran in the 9th lunar month, the Ramadan. They must give alms, part of that good deeds, 1/40 of their income, that is to go to the poor. Then it is necessary for everyone that has the ability, physical ability, and also the economical ability to make a pilgrimage, one trip to Mecca in their lifetime. There they are to visit certain sacred sites, each one wearing the same long white garment, that there may be a eradication of all classes in this life. And so the deeds, they are being tallied. Who can but think about Luther as he is climbing the stairs of Pilate, kissing every step with that hope and that expectation that he may deliver his soul from purgatory. But when he comes to the top of those stairs, and then he stands up straight, and then he says, who knows whether it is so? What an utter poverty. Islam, that is no different. And there is no hope of ever knowing, the certainty of that salvation, until that tally that is made, that is at the last day, that is in the day of my death. Poor people. Because there, then each one will experience the truth of the Word of God, that covenant is broken. But for every one of them, then it will be too late. Congregation, what makes us to differ? Because in whose heart does not lie that same thought and that same desire? That we may receive salvation in that same way as Luther had been taught and as every one of the Muslims are also taught today. But it is impossible. Therefore, our instructors give instruction concerning this in Lord's Day 24, in questions 62 through 64. Questions 62 through 64 of Lord's Day 24. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer: because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63. What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer: this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Question 64. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Answer: by no means. For it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. So far, our Lord's Day. The utter insufficiency of the old covenant. First, in what way it is insufficient. Second, man's unceasing contention with this insufficiency. The utter insufficiency of the old covenant. First, in what way it is insufficient. Second, man's unceasing contention with this insufficiency. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? That is, congregation, the question that is lying in our natural hearts. That is lying in our hearts when we are in that state wherein that we have been born. How much does that not show and prove that we are in such need of instruction, that we are in need of knowledge, that we have lost our knowledge in our fall. And what is especially that knowledge that we have left, that we have lost in our fall? Well, in the first place, it is the knowledge of ourself, that we do not even understand after our fall what we have lost in our fall, that we do not even understand that we have lost our original righteousness. In the second place, that we have lost that knowledge of God, of His attributes, of His perfections, that is evident in the answer of our fathers, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. What is that covenant that you are in? That is one of two. There is a covenant of works. There is a covenant of grace. When we are born in a covenant of works. And when nothing has taken place in our life, when we have never been taken out of that covenant and been implanted into Christ, then we are still remaining in a covenant of works. Thus, we are still in that agreement, a covenant, children, that is an agreement. Then there is a certain relation between God and your soul. And when we are in a covenant of works, then that covenant of works is requiring something of us. Is that the relation that we stand this day unto God? Then the covenant requires of us, do this and thou shalt live. What is it that we do not understand because of our deep fall? We do not understand that this covenant, that is a broken covenant. We do not see that we are a fallen creature. Our opinion of ourselves, even after our deep fall, is so very high. The opinion of our ability, our opinion of what our will is after our fall. Thus, the lack of the knowledge of ourself. And in the second place, our instructors, they say, the lack of that knowledge of God. Because we do not understand. Because we do not feel. Because we do not have an impression of those absolute perfections of God. Of our Maker. That knowledge we have lost. Those works which are acceptable to God, works, congregation, are acceptable to God. They are. Those works, however, which are acceptable to God, are only perfect works. They are works that are equal to God, equal to the perfection of God Himself. We mentioned this morning what the Lord Jesus said, that He commands us to serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. boys and girls. How much must you do wrong before you end in the prison? Must you do everything wrong? Must you do 5 things wrong? Must you do 2 things wrong? Or must you do 1 thing wrong? You say, when I do 1 thing wrong, when everything else is right, but when I do 1 thing wrong, then I end in the prison. That is so. What does the law require? The law requires perfection. Not one thing to be out of the way, else there is punishment. The law that is a requirement not only of man in this world, but that law that is a requirement of God. Therefore, that obedience of man, that must be a constant obedience. That must be an obedience that is not defiled in the very least respect. That must be an obedience that is coming out of a true faith. That is an obedience that must conform in every respect to that holy law of God in our intention, in our motive, but also in the fulfillment of that law. But that is now just that very thing that natural man is not able to comprehend. And why not? Because the natural man does not comprehend the perfection of God. What did the rich young ruler say? All these things, he says, have I kept from my youth up. He did not see that he had not kept a single one of those commandments of the Lord. That is that natural man who is so blind to the imperfections of his most holy works in this world. Because he is nothing but sin and imperfection. And that man, he does not understand why that God does not accept of his works. Wherein, he says, have I sinned? Oh, what an utter darkness, what an utter ignorance that is lying in that natural heart of man. Since we have fallen, our eyes so blinded, our knowledge so darkened. And in our days, that ignorance that is increasing. Because children, boys and girls, young people, Satan is so, so busy. He is busy to do what? He is busy to bring down that name of God. Wherever that you go, then you see that man is no longer holding God in that holy reverence which is due unto him. That is in our society. That is also creeping parents into our own churches. That everything has to become more common. And that reverence of the house of God, that reverence in the reading of His holy word, in the preaching of His holy word, that reverence no longer needs to be upheld, that God is brought by Satan himself in the minds, in the intention of man, even to the level of man himself. And on the other side, we see Satan is working so hard for the exaltation of man, that man is exalted in his reasoning, that man is exalted in his might, that man is exalted in his wisdom and in his strength. His reasoning powers, they are exalted over the Word of God. And so that if we cannot understand the Word of God, well then we will not quite accept that part of that Word of God as the full truth. It cannot be, because it does not go along with our understanding. That is, to exalt man, and that is, to abase the Word of God. In true conversion, it is becoming so different. What is the Lord doing in that true conversion? The Lord is again enlightening the understanding. That is, the understanding of God and the understanding of myself. That is, by the instruction of that Holy Spirit. And yet the full effect of the fall, and how deeply that man has fallen, that is also not evident immediately, even unto God's true children. That is something that needs to be learned by experience, a step by step. Or what did Peter know of himself? When he said unto the Lord that, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. No, then Peter did not yet have a full understanding of how weak that he was. Thus that people do not see everything immediately. And because they do not, then what do they say? Then they say, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Oh, there is indeed a small beginning of that obedience. The Lord Jesus said, the Spirit that is willing. But what is it that the people do not understand? The weakness of their own flesh. And that their own obedience that is not able to stand before that judgment seat of God. What do they have to learn? They have to learn to say that we are all as an unclean thing, and that all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. They need to learn how deeply that they have fallen, and that not only in their understanding, but that also their will is corrupt. Because we see that in our second thought, there is in men an unceasing contention with this insufficiency of that old covenant. The last 2 weeks, we have considered together the blessed doctrine that we find in Lord's Day 23. That is concerning the free justification of a sinner before God. There is, congregation,
no obstacle on the side of God to receive the greatest sinner in this whole world. And why is there no obstacle? Because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a man in this whole world for whom it is necessary to despair, except those who have sinned against the Holy Ghost and they have no more desire. We read of Manasseh that he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other with the blood of the innocent. And yet Manasseh was received. We read how that Saul persecuted that church of God, hailing them and committing them unto prison. And yet Saul was freely received by God. We read of the Jews. They have crucified, they have nailed the Lord Jesus, they have nailed the Messiah unto the cross. And we read that he prayed for them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, what doctrine! What doctrine can give men more cause to rejoice? That requires absolutely nothing from a sinner. A doctrine which proclaims that everything is accomplished already from another side. A doctrine that says, congregation, that it is so free. And yet man does not want to receive it. Why does he not want to receive it? He doesn't want to receive it because of his pride. Because man has never been humbled. Hear it in this question. The instructors here are pointing out, they have pointed out already in that former Lord's day. Oh, that blessed salvation that is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have shown something of the perfection of the imputation of that righteousness of Christ unto his church. Even so, they say, as if I never had nor committed any sin. Yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me. But what is immediately the next question? But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Why? Why such a question? Because proud man does not want to receive it. What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Oh, hear the expression of that natural, that impudent heart of man. That is a rebellion against the ways of the Lord. Our fathers, they have expressed it as it is in reality. It is rebellion. It is man that does not want to renounce his own righteousness. It is man that refuses to declare that his own righteousness is all as filthy rags. Oh, he is not so ready to admit his guilt. And he is not so ready to admit that he is so helpless concerning his own salvation. He is not ready to receive a salvation that is freely given out of the hand of God to a helpless sinner who sits as a beggar at the wayside. No, he wants to receive it as a reward. So he does not have to renounce himself. So he does not have to stoop to the ground. What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? No, he does not rebel without also some show of piety. He will try to cover that with the Word of God. He will bring forth examples out of the Word of God. What does David say? In keeping of the statutes of the Lord, he says, there is great reward. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. That thine alms, he says, may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret may reward thee openly. What does Paul say? The Lord is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Thus, oh yes, also to bring forth that holy word of God. And what do our instructors say? This reward is not of merit, but of grace. Thus, our instructors do not deny that there is spoken of in that holy word of God of rewards. No, but they must explain what is meant in the Word of God by these rewards. What is a reward, boys and girls? What is that? You get a reward sometimes too. A reward is something that is earned. Maybe earned by your behavior, or that is earned by your labors, that you are working very diligently. A reward also can be negative because by your misbehavior, then you may also receive a punishment which would be your own reward. But now the Holy Scriptures, they speak about a reward of grace. A reward of grace. Will you remember that, boys and girls? It seems to be a contradiction, a reward of grace. Listen, Paul says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Thus, a reward of grace. Now, we have spoken lately what grace is. What is grace? To whom does grace look? Mercy that looks to the miserable, and grace that looks to whom? To the unworthy. To the unworthy. Grace looks to the unworthy. That is to one who does not deserve it. Grace is looking to one who has not merited it. Thus, the Scriptures are speaking here about an unmerited reward, but a reward is something that we merit. A reward of grace that seems to be a contradiction. And yet, congregation, it is no contradiction. And why is it no contradiction? Because that grace that is actually not
unmerited at all. But that grace is only not merited by that people. That reward is fully merited. That reward is fully paid for. There has been a great labor that has gone in to earn this reward, but it is not by the people. But that reward that has been earned by the labors, by the active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has received this reward at its full price for sin. That is, even at his own death. And he has received the reward for this. And what is now his sovereign work, that is to give out this reward freely unto his people. That is why it does not have to be merited. Because it has been paid for already. Because he has said himself, it is finished. And therefore that reward does not depend on the church. Must they labor? Oh yes, they must labor. We read that together. They are commanded to labor. Go into my vineyard. But congregation, the reward is not connected to their labor. Else everyone had received a different reward. But now every reward was the same. Thus a reward, yes, but a reward of grace. Let us sing. Psalter 67. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou my Savior art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1-5 of Psalter 67. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Satan's congregation is the liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. And because he is the father of lies, he fights against the truth. Just as if that salvation by free and sovereign grace is a doctrine which leads men unto wickedness, Satan makes men careless and profane. Satan lulls men to sleep. Satan gives men a false rest, a false peace. Satan abuses the truth of God to meet his own ends. And what is given as the only hope for the salvation of God's church, Satan is making men to abuse and to despair upon. And that way that is leading only unto death and unto everlasting destruction, Satan is giving men to cleave unto to their utter destruction for a never-ending eternity. It is not the true doctrine that is making men careless and profane. We are careless and profane, because we are followers of the devil himself. And then we are ready to justify ourselves. We are ready to condemn the doctrine of God. And we are ready to destroy the hope of the afflicted and that poor church of God. Or we are so perverse that the command of the Lord that means to us absolutely nothing. The command that the Lord gives to you and to me, that we would use the means of grace with great earnestness while we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. When the Lord is commanding us to repent, to turn away from our evil deeds. But we have no desire to turn away from our evil deeds. We do not want to leave the service of this world because our heart that is cleaving to that service. The Lord commands us to draw nigh to Him. Where is our inner chamber? The Lord commands us to seek Him early. But then we are glad, young people, and we are glad, inwardly glad, in our heart, that we have a doctrine that man cannot do anything, because then we can go our way and we can blame our eternal destruction upon the Lord Himself. And the Lord commands us to seek treasures where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. But we have a desire to seek all the treasures that are of this world. We would rather listen to the devil. Why? Because our natural heart is ever a lover of the advice of the devil. Oh, that is so according to what our flesh loves. We can't do anything anyway. Enjoy the world while you still live. And so it doesn't really matter, young people, when we would leave our place open once, twice, and more times in the house of God, because we can't do anything anyway. Then our forefathers remain unread, and we choose the novel. Fiction means nothing. It's the imagination.
of a person in this world. And then we lazily hold on to some form of religion to satisfy our conscience. And in the end, it is the Lord's fault. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Oh, that is that impious charge of a man who was never humbled in the dust before God. It is the charge of a person who has never learned anything of his deep fall. That is the charge of a person who lives on a false notion of his own abilities. Charge of a person that was never humbled under a sense and impression of his wretched and miserable state by nature, that maintains himself, his own ability, and the righteousness of his own will, who hates to hear that salvation is a gift of God, because he thinks too highly of his own ability to make his own spiritual decisions. Doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? And what is our Father's answer? By no means. Never. Men abuse that doctrine to quiet their conscience. Men abuse that doctrine so that they may go on to live in the flesh. But that true doctrine that has never made men careless and profane in itself. Just the opposite. So our fathers say, by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. It is that people that experience this doctrine. And the true experience of this doctrine does not make a man abuse a doctrine. No, then that doctrine becomes a comfort. O congregation, let the Lord give man light in his soul once. Let the Lord only make us honest once in our life. And how different that our opinion of this doctrine is going to become. Let us begin in the beginning. Let us begin where we must begin. Let us begin where the Lord begins. What does David say? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, let the Lord teach us once how dead that we are. Let the Lord show us once that state that we are traveling in as we are going to that never-ending eternity. Oh, let a man experience once something of the hopelessness. You ever experience it? To earn salvation from his own sight. Let a man experience once that utter inability to give myself that life from the dead. Oh, then we will see what longings. Then we will see what hungerings and thirstings after God will be born in such a heart. Then we will see what a hope and what an expectation that this doctrine is bringing in the soul of such a one, that it becomes their only hope and their only expectation, that it would come from the side of the Lord. Oh, what sighs and what cries will then go up unto that throne of grace that have never reached that throne of grace before. Congregation, did this doctrine of free and sovereign grace make those 10 lepers careless and profane? No. It was this doctrine which did the opposite in the life of those 10 lepers. When you begin at the beginning, then you may see that this doctrine does not make men careless and profane. But it was this doctrine which made those 10 lepers cry out to that mediator and to that Savior. Did this doctrine make Bartimaeus careless and profane? Oh, it was this doctrine that made him to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This doctrine make Jairus careless and profane? This doctrine brought him to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Did this doctrine make that woman of Canaan careless and profane? Oh, this doctrine made that woman with the issue of blood come. Oh, if she may only touch that hem of his garment. But if it is not free, if it is not free, it is impossible. Oh, then, what an impious charge wrought out of hell is that charge that is brought against this doctrine, this blessed doctrine of free and sovereign grace. Oh, ask, young people, ask the people of the Lord. Shall we ask them this day? Oh, what has become more sweet to them than this blessed doctrine that they cannot, that they need not, that they need not pay one penny for that salvation? What is more sweet to that people than that the Lord Jesus Christ has finished everything? And that there is not one penny that needs to be added from their own side. All what has filled that church, oh, not a church that is in the heights, young people. You'll find them in the outward church all over the world. And they hate this doctrine. But the true church that is laying in the depth, oh, what is more sweet to that church, and what is filling them with more hope, with the only hope, and that only expectation than this blessed doctrine of free and sovereign grace. What did David say when he was delivered out of the hand of all of his enemies? He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Oh, that is what is wrought in the heart of that true church. Oh, where is that to be found, people of the Lord? Even in this day? Or have you indeed become careless and profane? If so, it is not because of that doctrine. No, it is because of your sin. And it is because of your backsliding. And because of the consequences, that is the hiding of the face of the Lord. Now we ask you one question before we go. What is then your only hope for a second time? For a second time. Can you bring yourself back? To the place where the Lord brought you before? Can you take one step? When you feel your heart drawn by all this world, when you must say to your own shame, where has all that life gone? Can you bring yourself back? What is your answer? What is your only hope? And what is your only expectation? Oh, then you must go in your inner chamber and you must say, Lord, if thou wilt not be the first one for the second time, then it shall still be with me forever, forever lost. Is it not so? Oh, that blessed, free and sovereign grace that will be exalted by that afflicted and by that poor church forever and forever will also be exalted by us. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Satan, he works so hard. Lord, wilt thou upset all his works? O cast him out of the church. Cast him out of our heart. Give us to see thy truth. Give us to know thy truth. Give us to experience thy truth. That only hope and expectation in that free, in that sovereign grace, and that unmerited reward. Oh, look on us, Lord. Give it to us undeservedly. Go thou with us. Bring thy word into our hearts, that it may be the thought and the meditation of our hearts in the week to come again. And we are so carnal, oh, give. That our hearts may be taken up with meditations of thee as travelers to a never-ending eternity. Wilt thou remember the little child that must again go to the hospital in the week to come? Oh, help him again to go through that which must take place, and strengthen him with his parents, the doctors and all that care for him. Make it well for body and soul. Also with him, and that must receive more testing yet in all his disappointments. Lord, help. Oh, convert, give to experience that free and that sovereign grace, oh Lord, that he may yet be that one who has gone into that vineyard even at the 11th hour, and still to receive that unmerited reward. Oh, remember him, and all that are afflicted, forgive our many sins. Be with the children tomorrow, and all those that are involved in our school. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 438, stanzas 2 and 4. The fear of God is clean, a fountain of serene and everlasting bliss. The judgments of the Lord, which a purest light afford, are truth and righteousness. More to be sought are they than gold and silver, yea, more precious far than money. In sweetness they excel the sweetnesses that well from honeycomb and honey. 2 and 4 of Psalter 438.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.